On behalf of my fellow members of the Board of Trustees and myself, let me extend a very warm welcome to the third annual meeting of the Philadelphia Society. Now, I think the reasons why we selected the topic we did for this year's session should be obvious to everyone. If my memory serves me correct, the current occupant at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. is a man with a rather sizable ego who has selected the term Great Society to describe his administration. Apparently, in advance, he's doing his best to sort of take a scoop on Bobby Kennedy, because about all that's left for Bobby is to call it either the Greater Society or to go all the way and call it the Greatest Society. And if he did that, he'd of course follow up all the Kennedys yet to come after him. I should say at this point that the last year's meeting of the Philadelphia Society was written up by Group Research, and their opening sentence is sort of a classic and should be read to you. And they said, "The Philadelphia Society held its second annual meeting in Chicago with membership built up." I noticed that, built up to 76. "Nearly all of them right-wing activists or intellectuals who are there by invitation only. The Board of Trustees meeting at noon today, we had a very active discussion as to which of us were intellectuals and which were activists." But by now, I suspect a lot of you have groaned and settled back in your chairs to endure the lengthy opening remarks that's customary in societies such as this that the president's supposed to make. I just want to tell you at this point to relax. I'm not going to make a speech. And the reason why we spent... Thank you. I already have a sizable group of admirers. I think I'll run for re-election. The reason why we spent so much time getting so many able panelists was so that the president could relax and do no work. Furthermore, the chairman of today's session is my colleague Frank Meyer, and I understand that Frank wants to make a rather lengthy speech. So I defer to a far more... I defer to a far more learned and eloquent colleague. But since I was once a professor, I simply cannot let a captive audience go without imposing on you a teensy bit. So the first thing I want to do is to make a few business announcements. And that is to remind all the members of the society that a membership meeting will be held in the Gold Room of the Sherman House. Is this thing working again? In the Gold Room of the Sherman House at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Now, all the members of the society, and particularly those who have paid their dues, are urged to attend. Let me suggest that guests of the society at the meeting have a late breakfast so that they can get to the opening session at 10:30 a.m. bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, or whatever you do. Now, believe it or not, we've had a number of questions asked about publicity for this meeting. And the policy on meetings of the Philadelphia Society is that they're supposed to be off the record so that we can have informal and uninhibited exchanges of views. Now, I'm well aware of the fact the last couple of meetings, various stories were written about these, our meetings. However, this year we are trying to make a firm resolve to enforce the rule, so I'm asking at this point to all journalists, newspapers, and people like that to put away your pens before you get a speaker who has something significant to say. Now, if you wish to publish what individual speakers have to say, this of course is quite all right, provided the speaker feels he had something significant to say and gives you his permission to publish it. Now, one final final remark, I'm told that in sessions like this that the president is supposed to say something profound. Now, as you know, many years ago, I left professing and became an administrator. So being an administrator, I did what all administrators do. I got my assistant to do some research for me, to go through all the authorities to see if he could find a good quote. You know, he went through people like Lord Acton, Dicey, Karl Marx, all the way down to Walter Heller, John Kenneth Galbraith, and Bartlett's familiar quotations. Lo and behold, he outfoxed me, however, and finally came across the theme sentence on page 365 of one of the works of that longtime author, journalist, pundit, expert in everything, Walter Lippmann, whom you probably know as more recently dubbed, or I'm told, although this was supposed to be a pseudonym, as Walter Wonderful by Alan Drury. I have to get in a plug for Stanford there and mention that Drury is a Stanford man. Now, Lippmann actually is a wonder to behold, because sometime or other during his long career, he's had good words to say about every social system, from capitalism through National Socialism and Communism. Now, my quote happens to come from The Good Society, the Lippmann book on The Good Society, and if you wouldn't accuse me of making bad puns, I would refer to this as Walter Lippmann's good book. But at any rate, the quote is the following: "To design a personal plan for a new society is a pleasant form of madness. It is an imagination to play at being God and Caesar to the human race." End of quote. Now, my hope is that during our sessions today and tomorrow, actually, that at least we'll slay Caesar. But in the case of God, it would be my hope that we won't go beyond the Pope and the new encyclical. Frank would...